Chapter 5. Commodore Asper was a man of the people, by self-acclamation. His remaining back fringe of gray hair drooped limply to his shoulders. His shirt needed laundering, and he spoke with a snuffle. "There is no ostentation here, Trader Mallow," he said. "No false show. In me you see merely the first citizen of the state. That's what Commodore means, and that's the only title I have." He seemed inordinately pleased with it all. "In fact, I consider that fact one of the strongest bonds between Corel and your nation. I understand you people enjoy the Republican blessings we do." "Exactly, Commodore," said Mallow gravely, taking mental exception to the comparison. "An argument which I consider strongly in favor of continued peace and friendship between our governments."
"Peace? Ah."
The Commodore's sparse gray beard twitched to the sentimental grimaces of his face. "I don't think there is anyone in the periphery who has so next to his heart the ideal of peace as I have. I can truthfully say that since I succeeded my illustrious father to the leadership of the state, the reign of peace has never been broken. Perhaps I shouldn't say it." He coughed gently. "But I have been told that my people, my fellow citizens, rather, know me as Asper, the well-beloved." Mallow's eyes wandered over the well-kept garden. Perhaps the tall men and the strangely designed but openly vicious weapons they carried just happened to be lurking in odd corners as a precaution against himself. That would be understandable. But the lofty, steel-girdered walls that circled the place had quite obviously been recently strengthened, an unfitting occupation for such a well-beloved Asper. He said, "It is fortunate that I have you to deal with, then, Commodore. The despots and monarchs of surrounding worlds, which haven't the benefit of enlightened administration, often lack the qualities that would make a ruler well-beloved."
"Such as?"
There was a cautious note in the Commodore's voice. "Such as their concern for the best interests of their people. You, on the other hand, would understand." The Commodore kept his eyes on the gravel path as they walked leisurely. His hands caressed each other behind his back. Mallow went on smoothly. "Up to now, trade between our two nations has suffered because of the restrictions placed upon our traders by your government. Surely it has long been evident to you that unlimited trade..."
"Free trade," mumbled the Commodore.
"Free trade, then. You must see that it would be of benefit to both of us. There are things you have that we want and things we have that you want. It asks only an exchange to bring increased prosperity. An enlightened ruler such as yourself, a friend of the people, I might say a member of the people, needs no elaboration on that theme. I won't insult your intelligence by offering any."